Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing verse by verse through the book of Revelation. So join us as we pick up in chapter 14, verse 8, and here's Pastor Eric.
All right, Revelation chapter 15 is going to set us up for the final seven bowl judgments in Revelation chapter 16. As we close today at the end of chapter 16, we will have ended the tribulation period as far as the chronology. You remember that the tribulation period began with the breaking of six seals. Then at the breaking of the seventh seal, we were introduced to seven trumpets. Six trumpets were blown. At the blowing of the seventh trumpet, then the seven bowls are introduced. We will go through the seven bowls, and that will finish the tribulation period, and Jesus will be back to set up his kingdom. And so we'll be looking at the final seven bowl judgments today. But in chapter 15, we're getting set up for that. So John says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous." So what John is seeing now is something that he thinks is great. It's something that he thinks is marvelous. It's powerful. It's dramatic. What is it? Well, he says, "Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." Now, it might seem strange that John would look at the seven last plagues of the earth and call it great and marvelous. But you know what? What John is seeing is that God is wrapping up and finishing his judgment of sin upon the earth, and the kingdom is coming. He is seeing that what God has begun, God is finishing. It's time to wrap this up. And there are seven angels in pure bright linen with golden bands across their chests that are being introduced to complete this work of God's judgment upon the earth. So John says, you know what? It was great. It was awesome. These seven angels having the seven last plagues. Now, notice that John calls them last plagues. There are some who would like to say, well, the first seal, the first trumpet, and the first bowl are all one. They would say that the second seal, the second trumpet, the second bowl, that they too are all one, that there are only really seven judgments, but they're given to us in these different forms. But John tells us that these bowls are the last plagues, that the seals, the trumpets, the bowls are actually in chronological order. They follow each other, as we've been teaching. So this sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. He's looking at the heavenly scene. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb sang. So you remember last week that Jesus reaped the earth for one last time. Those that could be saved were saved. And Jesus reaped the earth and he gathered them to himself. Well, here we see this number of martyrs that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, but they've been brought out of the earthly scene into the heavenly scene. There they are. They're said to have victory over the beast, but the tribulation period's not over. So they got from earth to heaven through being put to death. Now, from Satan's point of view, from the Antichrist point of view, from the viewpoint of the unbelievers, these Christians were losers. They lost their lives. Is that so? Not at all. They've actually gained the victory over the devil. They are in heaven. They have eternal life. They are in the presence of God. The earth is left with these seven bowl judgments that are coming. And believe me, you don't want to be on the earth to face what's coming in these plagues. I kind of like how it says here that those who have victory over the beast, they have victory, number one, over his image. You know, Satan, the Antichrist, they set up the image there at the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation period. But even now, Satan is trying to sell the world an image. It may be the image of rock star, may be the image of an athlete. It may be the image of a business executive. It may be the image of a surfer, skater. Whatever the image is, Satan is trying to sell it to the world. But you know what? Jesus Christ wants to give you the victory over the outward image of the world. God's plan for you and I is that we would bear on the inward man the image of Christ. The scripture says we've been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. What has more force in your life? The image of the world or the image of the inward man in Jesus Christ? These have the victory over the beast, number one, over his image. They also have the victory over his mark. You know, there is the influence of the world that you would rise up and leave your mark, make your mark in the world. Satan is trying to get people sidetracked and living for something other than Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, mark the blameless man. Mark the blameless man, for the future of that man is peace. It says that they have victory over his image. It says they have victory over his mark. And finally, they have victory over the number of his name. Satan numbering those who are going to be on the downward pull into the pit. He's got his mark on them. You know what? Even today, Satan's trying to number his people. He's trying to leave his mark upon the lives of people. And you can see it. You can see those that aren't walking with Jesus. You can see the mark on their lives. Doesn't have anything to do with their haircut. Doesn't have anything to do with the clothes that they wear. It has to do with what's in their eyes. They have a mark of pain. They have a mark of loneliness. They have a mark of frustration. And they try and hide it behind pride, but you know what? You can see it. You can see it. Satan is trying to number the people among his destructions. But you know what? God wants to number people among the saints. He wants to give them a heritage among the people of God. I love 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. It says that he, and does this not describe us? He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes that they may inherit the throne of glory. I love that. To set them among princes. Man, we're believers. We're among princes. You know what I'm talking about? When I get to heaven, it's like I'm neighbors with Daniel. You know what I'm talking about? Moses. But what a blessing, you know? D.L. Moody, Billy Graham, Chuck Smith. Hey, we're all equally believers together, numbered among the saints of God, among the faithful, those who trusted Jesus Christ and walked with him. We had the courage to put our faith in Jesus Christ when the world's like, oh, you goody-goody Christians. Oh, you think you're better than everybody else. Hey, that's not it at all. I love Jesus Christ. He died for my sins upon the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He's alive. He's revealed himself to me, and I believe it. And I'm walking with him. So these have the victory over Satan's image. It's a literal image in the tribulation period. Over his mark, that's the mark of the beast on the right hand and forehead. And over the number of his name. Well, these are standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now, I'm not sure if it's a harp that you wear with a strap over your neck and it has a distortion and delay pedal and maybe some effects pads. I'm not sure if it's that type of a harp. I'm not sure if it's a blues harp. You know what a blues harp is, don't you? It's a harmonica. But you'll notice that everything in heaven is loud, right? I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. When God speaks, it's like a loud trumpet, or it's like the sound of a massive waterfall. I'm not sure what the harps of God are in heaven, but they're going to be some serious instruments. Don't think of fat babies on clouds now, okay? So there they are, these martyred believers, come to faith in the tribulation period. They've resisted the Antichrist, his mark, his image, the number of his name, all that. Verse 3 says that they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and they sing the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is found in Deuteronomy 32. And they sing the song of the Lamb, and many of the words that are here in verses 3 and 4, you can find in Deuteronomy chapter 32 as Moses gave the song to the children of Israel there in the wilderness. And they sing this song, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty." You know what? God's works are great. God's works are marvelous. And they're praising him for that. They're praising him for their eternal life, having been saved out of the tribulation period. "Great, marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty." Secondly, "Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints." Now, the Antichrist is there saying that just and true are his ways. He's the answer. Religion's the problem. These guys put their faith in Jesus Christ. They resist the Antichrist. They suffer martyrdom. They're in heaven. And they say, "You know what, Lord, just and true are your ways." Now, think about this. These guys suffered for their faith, and yet they still say, "Just and true are your ways." So many times we suffer a little bit, and we're like, "God, you're not being fair. People at work, they don't like me. People at school, they don't ask me to the parties and stuff. This ain't cool, God." Hey, these people suffer death. They're on the other side. They see it for what it is. And they say, "Lord, just and true are your ways. You are the King of the saints. You're right on. You know what you're doing." Then they say in verse 4, "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name?" And then he gives us three reasons why. "For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you." And then thirdly, "For your judgments have been manifested." Verse 5, "After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened." This is the Holy of Holies, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. You remember the testimony of God, the Ten Commandments were inside the ark, in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, which was a representation of the reality of heaven. This part of heaven, the Holy of Holies, is opened. "And out of the Holy of Holies, out of the temple, came seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen." They are holy angels. "Having their chests girt about with golden bands." They are in the presence of God. "Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was completed." So you remember the four angels from Revelation, I guess it would be chapter 4. And one of these angels gives to the seven angels each a golden bowl full of the wrath of God that's going to be poured out now in chapter 16. And as they come out of the Holy of Holies and as they receive these judgments in these bowls, the glory of God and the power of God in his sanctuary is so manifest that no one is able to enter the temple. There's smoke arising from the presence of God's glory and from God's power, and no one can enter into that part of heaven until the plagues are poured out. You remember in the tabernacle, when Moses had pitched the tabernacle and it was dedicated to the Lord, that there the glory of the Lord was so powerful that Moses and the priest had to leave the tabernacle while the glory of God was manifest. When Solomon dedicated the temple, it was much the same way there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The priests were ministering in the temple that Solomon had just built, but the glory of God, the presence of God, was so strong as the Lord was saying, I am here, and I want you to remember that I'm here. You're not always going to experience me this way, but here it is for now. And it was so strong that the priest could not stand and minister. Much of the same thing is happening here. The glory of God, his power, is being revealed. The smoke being in that part of the Holy of Holies in heaven, no one can enter until the seven plagues are poured out. You know, our God is glorious. He is full of glory. He is full of power. Job said, indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, Job said, who can understand it? You know, I would ask you, how much of the glory of God do you experience on a regular basis? Do you experience the glory of God once a week on Sunday when you come to church and then that's it? How much of the glory of God do you experience on a regular basis? And if it's limited, well, why is that? Now, I'm just like you are. You know, when I go and have my devotions, you know, sometimes I'm just reading and that's it, and I pray and that's kind of it. But then there are other times when God and I really have close fellowship. You know, it kind of comes and goes. But you should know the glory of God for yourself. You should be able to look at this verse where the smoke from the glory of God and from his power filled the temple. I mean, you should know what that is. Because God loves you, and he wants to reveal his glory to you. He wants you to experience him. He loves you. Just like I love for my kids to experience a relationship with me. I love that. As much as I want to know them, I want them to know me too. So here the glory of God fills the temple in heaven, and it's so revealed at this moment that none can enter until these last bowls are poured out. He says, then I heard a voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And so the first went. Notice that they're all dispatched at once. Unlike the breaking of the seals at the beginning of the tribulation period, or the blowing of the trumpets, these bowl judgments are going to be poured out very quickly, because the destruction is so enormous. The future of the earth has to be very limited at this point. We're down to a very short period of time before the second coming of Christ. I think even Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. So after these bowl judgments get poured out, Jesus has got to come quick. If those days weren't shortened, no flesh could be saved. And you'll see why. So the first went, and he poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. The first bowl brings a sore. It's foul. It's loathsome. It's gross. You don't want it. But you know what? When you are living your own life, when you reject the word of God, when you reject following Jesus, you know what? Your life ends up looking like this. It ends up looking foul, and it ends up looking sore. I don't know how long it took you, but it only took me 24 years. I had enough girls say to me, I don't think I like you anymore. I don't think I want to go out with you anymore. I had enough girls say to me, I think your friend's cuter than you are. You know what I mean? It's like I had my heart broken enough. I'd spent enough time drinking alcohol to know what it was to be depressed, to be confused, to not be able to keep a job. Well, I still can't keep a job. No, just kidding. But you know what I mean? When you party, when you're messing around, when you're like going out and living your own life, your life becomes foul. You get a sore on you. I mean, you're hurting. But that's what happens when we reject Jesus and we live our own life. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know the Heavenly Father, that we might know God." Man, Jesus is totally satisfying. You know, it's nice to be married. I'm happy to be married. But you know what? When I met Jesus, I didn't need a girl to say, "Oh, I'll follow you wherever you go." I didn't need that. Because I don't need a girl to follow me. I'm following Jesus. And my relationship with him brings healing. It brings true satisfaction. I mean, this is my testimony, right? I'm not preaching some Christian message. This is what happened in my life. I was empty. I was hurting. I was confused. I was alone. And Jesus Christ saved me. And he has made me whole. So the first went out, and he poured his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Has the whole ocean turned to blood? Yes, I believe so. Because it says here that every living creature in the sea died. That's gross. That's really sick. What else are you going to say about that verse? Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Now, what's the deal with all the blood? The sea's blood. Every living creature dies. The springs of water, the fresh water turns to blood. What's the deal? Well, verse 5, I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." So the Antichrist and his followers, they're putting to death who will not take the mark. That would certainly include the Christians. And here, the saints, that is the believers, the saints, and the prophets, those that God is raising up to speak, they're being put to death. So God says, "Okay, you like blood? You like blood that much? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. The whole ocean, blood. There it is. Boom. Second bowl. Third bowl. All the springs of water, blood. There's blood everywhere." God is justified here. Even verse 7 says, "And I heard another angel from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'" So God is justified out of the mouth of two witnesses here. The Lord is just in what he is doing and turning the sea to blood, just absolutely destroying it. And all the fresh water, blood. You know, it could be that at this time the Antichrist and the false prophet are blaspheming God, saying that, you know, the Lord is evil. The Lord is bad. The Lord doesn't love anybody. Look at what he's doing to us. So these angels come forth and they testify that God is justified in what he is doing. They've shed the blood of the believers. Blood they shall drink. It's their just due.
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, or call us at 949-705-9272. We'd like to make available to you Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from the book of Revelation. If you'd like a copy of Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from today's study, it's available at our website, crossoverradioministry.com. And while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble. Have you ever wondered where the Bible came from? Well, if so, Pastor Eric Tribble has just released a new ebook entitled How We Got Our Bible. In this book, Pastor Eric covers topics such as how the Old and New Testaments were developed, how we can know that the Bible is truly from God, who decided what books would be in the Bible, why there's so many translations, and much more. You can read a sample of How We Got Our Bible and purchase this ebook for under a dollar by going to crossoveroc.com. That's crossoveroc.com.